been caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Every Tuesday we check in with Chip Simmons. He is the Escambia County Sheriff, and he is also over in St. John's County outside Jacksonville at the Winter Sheriff's Conference, and he joins us from there by phone. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. I got two sheriffs by phone from the same place in the course of 2 days, so it's very exciting for me. I want to get to what you've heard there, what you guys are doing, and I guess you're expecting the governor. What? Was it yesterday or today he's speaking?
No, the governor will be here in about an hour. He'll speak to us before lunch, and then we got Congressman Byron Donalds coming around lunchtime. We heard from the Attorney General yesterday. That's part of it. We can network with these state officials.
Okay. Well, I mean, since we're there, let's go ahead and start there. What have you learned? What's been the big topic of conversation? And, you know, did you pick up anything useful from either Congressman Donalds or from General Uthmeyer?
Well, we hadn't heard from Donalds yet. We'll hear Donalds at lunch. But I will. Most of it is how much they support law enforcement. You know, their plans for the future. A lot of stuff we've already heard, but they just reiterate. And then they really just hear available. With an opportunity to discuss in smaller groups, select groups, obviously, but because you can't talk to everyone. We have a pretty good turnout. We have 60 sheriffs of the 67 counties, which is pretty strong for a winter conference. A lot of the conversation is surrounding the potential for property tax reform and what that's going to do to law enforcement and to funding of law enforcement operations. So there's because there's no clarity in one bill or two bills, really. There's not a lot to be said, but we want to make sure that whenever the legislature considers these bills, that they consider public safety and they consider police and fire and they consider, paving streets and all that sort of thing. So you think it's common sense, but a lot of times you have to continue to remind people what's important and what we feel like is important in Escambia County.
Yeah, I mean, as somebody who hates property taxes, hates the idea of them, believes that they're philosophically unjustifiable, I hate the fact that I'm being put in a position to defend property taxes, which my whole life I have hated philosophically, just because what's your alternate revenue stream? You know, if you're going to make it possible to have a sales tax and it's going to be, as Mike Kohler said, 11% to 15%, I mean, I'm certainly open to that. Talk to me. But don't pretend that you can cut all of this money from the budget and do me a favor as a homeowner and not find other revenue, because it will mean lost services. And of course, the question is, will it mean lost services in law enforcement and public safety? That's the big concern, right?
Yeah, that's and again, I'm like everyone else. I'm against property taxes also, but I am more for safe communities, and I am for the services that those funds provide. And the thought that there's enough waste, I'm not convinced of that. Again, I don't have access to everyone's books, and they have not involved me in some of their state conversations. But I would be highly suspect of an individual that says there's so much waste that we can just transfer all that to the essential services. I'm just, as you mentioned, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't want to make you name names, but CFO has been saying there's all this money and waste out there. And I'm like, well, hey, where's the report? Because we still don't have it several months after they claimed all of these things. And you were the deputy county administrator for a while over some of the facilities. You can disagree with Escambia County on some things, but there's no chance you're finding 20 or 30% of their budget is just plain waste. I mean, that's just, it's an insane allegation.
And one person's waste is another person's need. I mean,
sure.
It's true. You can find things to cut. Yeah, we just have to be able to make those decisions, and everyone needs to be okay with it once the decisions are made.
Right. Everybody wants more services at lower cost. So good luck in fantasy land. That's just not realistic. Right. Let's talk about some of the incidents that have taken place. A story while I was on vacation was this, or maybe just before, was this person who was impersonating a deputy. Was this in Century on Highway 29? Is that right?
Yeah, it was up in the north end of town early in the morning. A lady reported being stopped by, she described a dark-colored, like, boxy car. I'm envisioning one of our older Ford Crown Victoria-type cars. And she said there was a small blue light in the middle center console. And then what's odd about it is he turned off this light after the traffic stop. And then a slender white male approached her, began asking her about you know, if she's got drugs in the car and that sort of thing, and then asked to search her purse and I think the back of her truck. And then she started getting suspicious of him, obviously, and then she called us and we're like, we didn't stop you. It was not any agency that we're aware of. And so obviously this is concerning. We take this very serious. We have been looking for a car that would fit that description. We have been asking for people that might have information that could let us know if they think someone's, you know, weird enough to try to impersonate a deputy. And because this is a felony, and we will certainly arrest them.
What is, I think for a lot of folks,
a real cop will certainly arrest them.
Right, right. I think for a lot of folks, they hate the fact that there is this person out there who has done this. But I think also what a lot of folks think is, well, how would I know if I got pulled over? Because, you know, not everybody's driving the Tahoe with all the bells and whistles and massive lights and everything else. How do I know for sure that somebody pulling me over isn't either an undercover or an off-duty, somebody who does have the legal authority to do it, but somebody who, you know, help me understand as a citizen. We've talked about it before, but it's good for a reminder. How can I know and what should I do if I'm suspicious?
Well, first of all, if you're suspicious, if it's a plain car, they don't typically have the marked cars with all the lights like we have. But if it's a plain car and they're acting suspicious or you don't feel comfortable, just call 911. Put your hazards on and do not stop. Go to the nearest convenience store, go to a public area, or wait until you get a hold of our 911 dispatcher, and they confirm that that is indeed a law enforcement officer. I say that, but I'll also say this. We don't typically stop cars in unmarked unless there's an immediate need, and even then, we call for a marked unit so they can be with us. And we never turn our lights off during a traffic stop. That's crazy. So there's some things that you can be aware of. In fact, I'm not even a fan of these ghost lettering on the side of police cars that are so popular in law enforcement. We've had the opportunity, and I've chosen not to because I want my marked cars to be marked and clearly marked. And then if it's an unmarked car, if there's some sort of an undercover operation, then I wouldn't put ghost lettering on those either. So my point is, in Escambia County, you're not going to see ghost lettering on the side of our cars that look like an unmarked car, but they're really a marked car, so there's no confusion there. And if a car stops you, this unmarked car, and you don't feel comfortable, give us a call or call 911, and we'll let you know if that's an appropriate or a real police officer.
I think I remember the answer to this, but I just want to make sure. If somebody is either off duty or out of uniform, are they legally able to pull you over for a traffic stop? And if they are, even if they're legally able to, is it something that your agency practices?
They are legally able to do so, but we discourage our deputies from stopping cars for minor traffic violations in an unmarked car. What we ask them to do is call a marked car, and then a marked car will come and make that traffic stop for them if they feel that there is a need.
Perfect.
Now, if there is a DUI suspect or if it's someone we believe is a danger, you've seen some of our pursuits and our unmarked cars do get involved, but that's after our marked cars are already engaged.
Okay. All right. And that helps clarify, I think, for a lot of people, too. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons. He's in St. Johns County this morning at the Sheriff's Winter Conference. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash Mobile Highway at Godwin Lane in Pensacola. The roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Sheriff Simmons. You guys had an incident at, was it Fast Eddie's with graffiti? Is that right?
Yeah, we got a call that a guy was, that someone had spray painted and done a lot of damage, really, with the spray paint at Fast Eddie's Fun Center on Michigan Avenue. They also spray painted one of our speed trailers. They spray painted a couple of the traffic signs. So again, as you can imagine, these are, you know, it's going to cost some money to fix these things. We get there and we quickly were able to locate a 19-year-old. His name was Orion Sky Dickinson. And we figured out he was a suspect because he had spray paint cans with him. He also had paint all over his hands and his face. So, you know, that's a clue for us. And we were able to arrest him, charge him with some other resisting and a couple other misdemeanors as well.
All right. Well, good work. I mean, I'm always amazed by people who engage in graffiti. I'm always amazed by even the gang type stuff, because I think you're so powerful that you're going to express your control over this territory at night when nobody's looking in secret. So well done. Yeah, it's just not the most powerful thing that I've ever seen. Hey, one of the good things that you guys are involved in is West Florida High School, the Electrathon racing team. They've basically built a cop car to run on, you know, low power batteries for a long time, right? It's a cool program.
Yeah, it's a cool program, and man, it's a cool looking car too. If you look at it, we're pretty proud of our newer white Tahoes.
Yeah,
proud of the fact that they're cheaper and we can get them faster, and they look pretty sharp. So we're pretty proud of them. And then when the folks at West Florida Tech came to us and they said, "Hey, can you help sponsor us?" We sponsor with our law enforcement trust fund, which is seized drug money. We sponsor school programs to end up giving kids something to do, right, to keep them off a bad path. And in this particular case, they asked us if we would mind if they made up a car to look like one of our cars. And we said sure, because obviously we want to be a good partner. But man, look at that thing. That thing, I'm looking at pictures now as we're talking, a white car, kind of a space age looking car. And it's got everything. It's even got our core values of courtesy, integrity, professionalism on it. Got blue lights on the front and the back. I don't think that you could be confused about this being a police car.
No. It kind of looks like the old, what I remember from the 80s when people were trying to break like the land speed record rocket ships mixed in with one of those, two front wheel, one back wheel kind of not quite motorcycle, not quite, four wheelers kind of things. And then obviously very space agey looking with all the lights and everything. It's a very cool thing. I love to see you guys involved in that. One of the other things I had wanted to ask you about, you and I talked before we get on the air, and I didn't mention to you, but I feel free to weigh in or not. The shooting that took place in Minnesota, the most recent one, when I looked at this, and I talked extensively about this yesterday, but I want to give you a chance to weigh in because it's, law enforcement, it matters quite a bit. This looked to me like a not justified shooting. It looked to me like a series of mistakes that all took place, and certainly nobody is in the wrong for simply carrying a weapon to a public protest of any sort. That's a normal concealed carry behavior. There's been a lot of things said false about this, but I wanted to give you a chance to weigh in. However you want to weigh in, you're my law enforcement expert. So any thoughts? And feel free not to comment. I mean, it's perfectly within your power not to comment.
Yeah, a lot of people have been asking us our opinions, and that's obviously been a topic here at the Sheriff's Conference. I will tell you that what we typically do is we're not blind to the videos. We look at the videos. That's the first thing we do. If we were to investigate, if this was my agency, and then we go a little deeper because it doesn't always tell us the whole story. We go a little bit before, during, and then certainly after as well. I did not see, in the videos that I saw, and maybe I'm not privy to every video, but I did not see this individual pull a weapon. I would have some concerns if this happened in our jurisdiction. Concerns from the initial contact. I would have concerns from the number of people that tried to pile on to him. I mean, I don't know that there's a need to have more than two, at most three people on one individual. No one's taking charge. And then you've got the situation where it appears as if one of the agents actually took the gun or was in possession of the gun just before the shots were fired. Again, these are things that if this happened in our jurisdiction, we would certainly take into consideration. And if it were us, then everyone involved would be on administrative leave.
Yeah.
And then we would work with the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and then we would work with the state attorney's office. We've had some officer-involved shootings in the past, and we've been pretty open about and a lot of times we put the video out. This is what we're working with right here. And you get a sense initially whether it is an openly good shoot or something that really needs some further investigation. And I think in this case, it will certainly need further investigation.
And at the very least, and I, just because it's such an easy question to answer, in my opinion, somebody concealed carrying or in Florida open carrying at or near a political rally is committing no crime whatsoever as long as they're not in some prohibited sensitive space like a bar or a school. Or a government activity, something like, the fact that you're around police and happen to be carrying is completely legal until you draw it, brandish it, threaten, use it, something like that, right?
We've had numerous conversations with my deputies, and we have let them know that my stance is that we support the carrying of firearms concealed, and we can support the Constitution, which allows for open carry in the state of Florida and certainly in Escambia County. And so I say that because I would expect that our deputies would encounter people that are constitutionally carrying or carrying within their right to do so. And so, yes, the answer to your question is it is okay to carry your weapon. Again, we're talking about Minnesota law versus Florida law, and I'm not sure what their laws are. your specific laws are. I can simply tell you what my expectations are in Escambia County, and my expectations are for our deputies in the county, people that are lawfully carrying a firearm pursuant to the Constitution.
Absolutely. Amen. And I know that's why I wanted to ask you about it as well. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you so much for keeping us safe, keeping us informed. Also, I did get a text in. Somebody said that he was really grateful for your policy of clear and verifiable law enforcement officer identity. Good work doesn't need anonymity except for undercover operations, obviously. And so he appreciated you being clear about, you know, marked cars. Even the ghost markings are a little bit, you know, questionable. And I had that same exact opinion. So thank you so much for that policy. And we look forward to hearing from you next week. Thanks for the time. Be safe on your drive back in the cold.
You bet. Y'all take care.